Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves, you're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing, or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit NCL.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry with Bahamas and USA.
This is the 1895 Podcast, official podcast of Shelburne FC, bringing you news, views and interviews from inside Tolka Park, Dublin's finest since 1895. Here's your host, Stephen Doody.
Hello, welcome to the 1895 Podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne Football Club. As always, we are brought to you by Go Loud. Go Loud is the home of Irish podcasts. Ben, a very, very rare occurrence over the weekend. 2022 was the last time both the men's and women's Shelburne Football Club senior teams were beaten on the same weekend. Can you believe that?
No, I can't. I think when we talked about it, even during the week, there was a great air of confidence about us. I don't think it was overconfidence. I just think we're very confident in those results, and unfortunately didn't go our way.
No, it certainly didn't go our way on Friday or Saturday. Both very different games, I think. Same outcome, unfortunately, but look, we'll start with Friday. I want you to sum it up for me, Ben. Sum it up for me. Give me a quick little summary of the game.
I think frustration sums up the entire game. It's just one of those that when they score, when they do, like they score so early on, and it was kind of just a bit of a sucker punch again. They're good at doing that to us. They sit back, they sit in their low block, and it's so hard to break down. And that's what it became a game of. It became a game of trying to break it down, and there was chances there, but we just couldn't take them.
Look, we'll start, obviously, the goal we concede. It's another shy goal, to be fair. The manager had said about, you know, not offering teams easy goals. Look, we did it against Rovers. There's an argument that we did it against Derry, Galway, now Drogheda. I'm not one, like, you know, you're not going to find me jumping the gun, but at what stage is it a thing of, like, people at the moment are just saying, it's very unlike us, you know, we'll just, you know, stop conceding those bad goals and we'll be grand. But we kind of haven't stopped. Now, I know Friday might be a little bit different. I think probably Evan's a bit unlucky. I think it's very uncharacteristic of him for a start, but it's very early in the game. Like, at the end of the day, he slips. Like, in fairness, he did have a chance to clear it before that, but ultimately he slips, which is a little bit unlucky, and Warren Davis, it's a serious finish. But is that a concern yet, the manner of goal we're conceding?
No, I don't think so. As you said, it is extremely uncharacteristic, but I do agree it comes to a stage where, like, okay, so when is it going to be done? When's it going to be out? But I think it's just one of those that when you start settling in, like, there's a lot of head loss, I think. Yeah. After the result, and it's just one of those that, look, it's a sucker punch. It's not a game you want to lose. You never want to lose any games, but the goal you concede, all credit to Drogheda. They played a really good game. They executed their game plan to perfection. What they did wasn't a pretty, like, sight, but it was so incredibly effective.
It felt to me like they Damien Duff Shelburne in what we've done the last kind of, more so last year, I suppose, where like that or scoring, and it's a case of, right, let's see what you're made of. And look, we didn't come up with enough. That's obvious for everyone to see. But I do think there's an element of, oh, fuck, if we lost to Drogheda. Like, that wouldn't put Drogheda top of the league. So I know, like, we're only a few games in and that, but it's not as if it's a bleeding Athlone 2021 or 2020 type thing. Was that 2020 or 2021? It was 2020, wasn't it?
2020.
Yeah. Like, it's not that level of a defeat. Like, Jesus, far from it. And, like, we did huff and puff and, like,
there was
a complete down and out performance. Yeah, like, this, I looked up the stats on earlier on. Like,
the stats are mental. At one stage, I saw a thing. It was like, we had 164 passes complete and they had 44.
Yeah.
Like, it was something insane like that. It's like, they just sat there and to a man, everyone did exactly what they had to do. Like, all that game requires is one person to make a mistake. But as the game wears on, you're like, if we don't get a goal soon, this is going to become dangerous. I think I turned to you around 65 and said, we have 5 minutes. And then I start to worry, because then they have that bit of life in them. They're nearly there. As the manager said, you give them oxygen and they're going to do something. And I feel like once they get to that stage, like, okay, it's in our sight, we can do it. And they just kind of completely killed the game. I know there was chances, but they just kind of smothered them all out.
Yeah, again, we'll come to that second half performance shortly. Before that, this kind of got lost, I think, in a lot of people's... And look, it's not... It in no way meant or led to us losing the game 1-0, but we should have had a penalty after the draw had a goal.
I don't
know whether it was just where we were standing that we had a very, very, very good angle of it.
The referee had a good angle of it. The lineup has a good angle of it. Like, there's a lot of people with a good angle on that. I don't know.
It did kind of just get lost in the whole... But part of me, what I would say is, I'm quite happy that there wasn't, like... Everyone's not online going, typical referees, you know, we should have had a penalty. Right? Like, didn't have a great game, to be fair. Either way, but it was a penalty. It definitely should have been a penalty. Look, we had enough after that we should have made more of. The reaction after the goal probably wasn't great. We'd kind of 5 minutes where... Like that bit of madness happened, the penalty appeal. Somebody put a great ball across the box. I think it might have been Harry Wood. And I think, was it Ellis Chapman at the back post?
Just couldn't get there.
But like, the reaction I didn't think was great after the goal. And I asked Mark Coyle after the game and he kind of disagreed. Looked a bit shell-shocked, kind of, I thought.
Lovely use of a pun. But yeah, I think just as the goal goes in, I think it's a bit of a sucker punch. Like, it just takes the wind out of us. And I think, I don't know if we started as quickly after. Like, we're known for quick starts. I just think we were, like, as you said, a little bit shell-shocked.
Yeah, and like, I have written down here, we'd huge chances in the game. Like, Ellis Chapman had two big ones. He had a great chance in the first half.
The volley as well in the second half.
Yeah, and that volley, good save from Luke Dennison, to be fair. But they're two big chances. Boydie had one. It was great build-up from Meepo. Meepo done really well.
Yeah.
Put a ball across. And it was very similar to the goal Boydie scored against Drogheda before. That one that comes across his body and he kind of just rolls it into the far corner. And then, like, Kerr McEnroy's one. It's just, that's one of them. The more you watch it, you go, that just doesn't make sense what you're looking at. Like, it looks so simple, but at the same time, you can see he kind of gets caught up and it doesn't get caught under his feet. It only gets caught over him. And then, somebody does say it later on in the listener questions or comments that, on another day, you do score 4 or 5.
Yeah.
that was the mad part. It's not like Drogheda dropped off and we couldn't fashion a chance.
Oh, but Ali Koo came on, looked electric, had one or two shots that just fizzed wide. On another day, he's sticking them into the roof of the net.
Yeah, look, we're a great football club. Well, a great fan base for head loss and overreaction. And again, I know it looks like, you know, these two Egypts now are going to come on and say, you know, like everything's always perfect and we weren't that bad.
I mean, I don't think
some people. So I seen somewhere it was called a spineless performance. Like, I don't agree with that. I mean, like spineless is just not being arsed.
Yeah, you can't go out there and say players didn't give their all because look, it was a tough game. Like we had all the possession, everything was on us to do something, and every player out there tried to make something happen. If it's a spineless performance, you don't create chances. The chance is there. So I just think because of the success over the last period of time, people forget that, like, you know what, it could be a lot worse. I know you don't want to live in the past, and there's times where I look, forget about it, move on, but like, it was a tough game, a tough loss. Was it the greatest performance in the world? Not really. There's elements to it that are really good and positive, but it's just one of those where roles are reversed this year. It's one that we kind of have to get used to. We're going to have the ball, we're going to have 65-70% possession, and it's about doing something with it.
Yeah, I did ask Mark Hoyle about that after the game, about that kind of change of mentalities, maybe that like now the onus is on us to go and break teams down. It is obviously very different. Like, it's a very, very different game to try and play. My frustration, we were better in the second half. Like, we created more and we moved the ball a lot better, I thought. But at times in that final third, it felt a little bit like people passing the responsibility at times. Like, yeah, I don't want to put this in the box. You put it in the box. No, you put it in the box. No, you get a shot off. No, you get a shot off.
Yeah, I think that the manager kind of alluded to that in this post-match where he said it just kind of takes someone to come out and, you know, have that bit of X factor to kind of grab the game by the scruff. Like, it was really apparent, I think, in the last 2 minutes where the whole stadium's like, come on, get something in. And it's still being recycled for the perfect ball instead of just going for broke, I suppose.
Yeah, it's one of them ones, like, I completely understand, you know, you keep it and you're trying to probe and you're waiting for a gap to pop up. But gaps hadn't really been popping up all that often. I would have just loved for that last kind of 5-10 minutes, Boydie in the box, John Martin in the box, Chapman in the box, get Paddy Barrett up there and just start chipping balls in and just see what happens. And I know, like, football's gone so kind of analytical and, you know, it's not, you know, I'm sure the chances of scoring are way better by trying to probe and find a pass, but just looking at it sometimes on Friday going, just fucking get it in there. And we're not that type of team, and I get that. Maybe that's a bit of dinosaur in me coming out, but like, fairness, they had Conor Keeley in there who was winning an awful lot in the air, but you might win a second ball off him, or, you know, he might head a ball down instead of away and it might fall to somebody's feet, but I don't know. Maybe that's me wanting Mike Bassett, England manager type football, but the other thing that kind of was, I found frustrating, was where we were crossing the ball from. Like, I think I said to you at one stage, it's a lot easier to get a ball into the box from like the sideline than it is that kind of, how could I describe it? Kind of in line with the 18-yard box, but closer to the halfway line. Like, it's a really awkward kind of ball to try and whip in. Like, I'd rather, when I seen Ray and Rhino Kane come on, I kind of thought, here we go, crosses to beat the band. And it didn't really pan out that way. I don't know whether that's it. The plan wasn't to put balls into the box, whether it was maybe lads saying, oh, I don't want to take a risk, put the ball at risk by throwing the ball into the box. But am I being a bit overcritical, maybe?
I think just a tad bit, but I do understand where you're coming from. I do get it. You're kind of like, okay, what you're doing doesn't seem to have an effect here. Maybe try something else. But I just think the chances are there to win the game. We didn't. People are focusing on us and our performance. Obviously, Drogheda do deserve a lot of credit for their performance.
I do. If you're a Drogheda fan, you're leaving there. You know, you're not talking about how shells are wasteful or that type of thing. You're talking about, like, we limited shells to, you know, not quite pot shots, but, you know, we kept them out. We stopped them from scoring, and it's all, it's just whatever way you look at it, isn't it? Like, again, like I kept saying to myself, after they didn't score that early, like, it's a totally different game, because they might have opened up a little bit more if it was nil-nil. They might have, like, taken a chance, go on a counter-attack or something like that, but
it's just an awkward time for the goal to come, and then you don't get one back before half-time, and then you're like, okay, oh, this might get a bit hairy here, and then, look, it just wasn't our day. It's really all you can say.
Yeah, but don't panic, I would say.
I don't know what it is, but I don't know why I do it, and I probably shouldn't, but you know, Doody will be sitting in Fagan's doing our debrief after a game, and the first thing I go to is social, see what's there, and Facebook is one I should just delete at this stage.
Facebook in particular, Ben, I don't know what it is, it seems to bring out the worst in people.
I guess
there's some mad stuff. I have had to leave again. I just can't do it anymore. Look, people are well entitled to criticise players, and we're going to come to, this is why I put the looking for people's bad Shelburne takes. But some of the stuff I was reading was just incredible. And what I would say is, the players see that.
But I know you're like, yeah, everyone deserves their opinion, everyone's entitled to it. Everyone has an opinion. That doesn't give you an entitlement to voice it, especially if it's wrong or just ridiculous. Like, there's some shouts, and they're just like, sometimes you're like, what game did you watch? Like, what are you talking about? Like, there's sometimes you'd see a player come on and they do well, and he'd be like, oh, you should start every game. You've seen him play 10 minutes. Like, it's selection's probably based on training, how they've been. Like, it's not based on a 10-minute cameo. Like, there's some mad shouts.
Yeah. While we're here, let's do the wild shouts, because this one, it's probably the busiest question box we've gotten. There was an incredible amount of people got off this. And I'm also aware that it gives people a chance to have a pop at other people, which everyone loves to do. So, Matt was the first one. He was in very early, and all he said was, questions need to be asked about Keith Ward, why Keith Ward's not playing, and that's just in quotation marks. Was that one of the wildest bits of head loss we've had?
That was, I think, that is up there for me with probably the best Shells head loss of all time. That and calling for Boydie's head after Waterford.
Well, yeah, that was my one. The one with Wardy's gas, though, because I think people start reading into it and was like, oh, there must have been a falling out. You know, something must have happened that Keith Ward's not getting a game. And then when Wardy left and he done the podcast with LOI Central, he was like, oh, I loved it there.
Yeah.
I absolutely loved every minute of it. I just couldn't be happier for all the lads winning the league. I just wanted to play, and I wasn't playing as much as I wanted to. And like, sometimes it's that simple.
Well, the people fancy, like, some people do fancy themselves League of Ireland journalists, and there's a lot of those pages, then Twitter, Instagram, everywhere, transfer news, this and that, and I don't know where they're seeing information or where they're getting it from, but 9 times out of 10, it's just a lot of waffle.
Yeah, well, speaking of a lot of waffle, there's plenty of it here now. Jordan O'Reilly said, people saying that JJ Looney doesn't add anything to the team and all he does is pass the ball backwards. Look, I've had my run in with this one.
Yeah, I've never seen you actually snap at a person in real life, but you got really annoyed in Pats, I believe, away when someone was criticising JJ and he's beside us, and a kind of older lad. And you just turned to him like, what are you talking about? Because it's like, there it is, backwards again, and you just turned. Never seen this look on your face before either. Just such a sour, angry look, and you're like, what are you talking about? Your head starts shaking like mad. Yeah, and then just walked away in frustration after giving out for about 5 minutes. It's great.
I don't lose the head very often. I'd say I've maybe lost the head twice in 4 years or 3 years doing this kind of stuff. The other time was in Galway away. I don't actually think you were there for that, Ben, were you? The infamous post-match interview.
Oh, I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. Wait, did you... You've heard that story, surely.
I don't think so.
I
don't think so.
I might dig out the video. Friend of the pod, Gav White, I'm sure has that video somewhere. I'll dig it out for you because it is a good one. There was a few people mentioning about other people having mad opinions about JJ. He seems to come up in this an awful lot. As recently as Galway away, I got a voice note of a regular listener. I won't give him up because I don't think he was gunning for his voice note to be played on the pod. But I'll make his point for him that on the way out of Galway, he heard somebody saying to their young fella, see, that's what you get when you play JJ Looney sideways and backwards. It's all you're going to get. It's just, I don't know.
I don't get the obsession with criticising modern football now because that is modern football.
It's football, exactly.
You recycle possession. It's a very common theme. If you watch any team in the Premier League, 9 times out of 10, they're going to do it. It's like one of the, speaking of head loss and terrible takes, I think I saw one. It was like, I think Evan Caffrey had more passes backwards than he did forwards against Drogheda. Yeah. So, what point are you making here? I don't get it. Like,
some lad, I don't know how to pronounce this, it's something about Instagram anyway, but he says people questioning Duffer's tactics after Friday as if he didn't just win us the league 4 months ago. Like, I think Friday can just be written off as too many people didn't play particularly well at one time. And I think that was kind of it. Like, there was no major shape issue. Yeah. It wasn't a team selection thing. Like, it just didn't happen.
it's a bit of an outlier performance. It's not one, hopefully, you'd see again. It just, these things happen. Sometimes the team is set up and you can't play the way you do. And you have some players off it on the day. And it's just a perfect storm of nothing for us and everything for them.
Yeah, Rob Jones said anyone who rated Liam Burt highly, that's a fucking major shot there.
That's a
major shot.
I mean, Liam Burt did come up with some important goals.
Yeah, he did, and subsequently lost his mind after he left the club, as was seen on Instagram there last week or the week before.
That was incredible, by the way.
That was bizarre. Just. A grown man. Anyway, if I was not opening that can of worms. Al says, Friday night, someone beside me said, what are they doing all week if they don't know how to score a goal on a Friday? I don't know.
I've never been involved in a football team for 500, please.
Adam Fahey said, people that said Damien Duff should have been let go after a 3-0 loss at home to Finn Harps. That was a mad time. that was a mental period, because there was an awful lot of, I remember it might have been the second game of that, of the manager's first season. Didn't we play UCD away on a Monday, maybe? And it was septic. It was a horrific game. So bad. Don't think there was a shot on goal from either team. It was just really bad game. And people were piling on. Oh, what have we got managing us? Yeah. Now, hindsight is also a wonderful thing. I'm aware of that, but...
Actually, speaking of bad takes, I do remember one in the group of... someone said that you can't play Mark Coyle and Ada Irvine together because they're too similar.
Was that me?
I don't think that was you, but it was someone in the Facebook group at some stage very early on saying, we need more balance in midfield. Mark Coyle doesn't work with Ada Irvine. They're just basically the same player. And that is a take that did not age well, because where's Ada Irvine now?
Correct.
That's a genuine question. Where is he? Is he still Dundalk? Or
yes, I believe so. I believe so. For now. Kev said, people that said Bocker Bailey and Glenn Cronin would be shrewd signings. Yeah, that was a dark time. That was a dark, dark time, Matt.
My last memory of Bocker Bailey getting subbed off against UCD early on in the first half, and no one knows why. He just left the ground.
That was it, rode off into the sunset. Adam said, people wanting to re-sign Jad last season. That might be a bit harsh, I think. I don't know if I'd agree with that one. Yeah. And Kaylee said, everyone wanting to get rid of Harry Wood after he came back last season.
Yeah, poor age got a lot of stick when he came back and it wasn't really going his way.
No. Brian said, now I have to be honest, I don't remember anyone saying anything in the like of this, but Brian said, people saying that Duff should have been sacked during the slump last season.
Jesus Christ, I didn't hear any of that.
No, I definitely didn't. If I did hear anyone say that, I might have had to punch him in the nose for being so stupid, but...
Yeah, that's one of those where I think even I would have lost the head at that, because that's just... quite possibly up there, one of the stupidest things I've ever heard. And you hear a lot of stupid things in football matches.
Good old football hot takes. Can't beat them. Sure you can't. James C. 1895 said, I heard somebody say that Liam Burt was our best player last year. That's a bad take. It's a lot of Liam Burt take going on here. I don't know whether it's just a bit of recency with his outburst or that, but... Keelan O'Mara said, certain people want to have a chat with Damien Duff regarding his tactics after last Friday. Again.
It's... All the tacticians come out when something doesn't go your way.
Yeah, I just don't know. Again, Dee Murray, Al, Sean, all mentioning JJ again. There, people basically saying that all he does is pass the ball backwards and sideways.
Judy, what about your football wrong take? Like, we're hearing a lot of good stuff from the people. What about you? Have you ever had any?
Something I got very, very wrong.
Yeah. I know I'm putting you on the spot here. Like, you very publicly teed me up for my wrong footballing hot take in front of the person. So I have to put
when
you on the
spot.
The Harry Wood interview.
Oh, Jesus, yeah. I, at one stage, thought Sean McSweeney was going to be a very shrewd signing.
Oh, dear. That is a terrible take.
Yeah, I've had a few clangers now, to be honest with you. I remember really, really bigging up A. Dervin at the time. I got a bit of stick off Dazzler for that, actually, I think.
I'm pretty sure I also called it. If we're going footballing hot takes, last year I said, before the season started, before a ball had been kicked, we were talking about predictions. I think I said Matty Smith for top goal scorer.
Yeah, that's pretty bad, actually.
I mean, if he stayed fit, I still think there could have been a shout there. But
I actually, that's reminded me of something. I was accosted at the tunnel there a few weeks ago, Ben, by a good Reds man, Doyler. Everyone will know Doyler. He just started shouting at me, saying, "You are wrong. You are wrong. Admit it. You are wrong."
I remember this, and I was like, "What's going on?
What is he talking about?" Yeah, just didn't know. And then he said something like, "Listen back, telling you, you are wrong." I think he's talking about Matty Smith. He was, I wouldn't say anti Matty Smith, but I think I was talking him up, and I don't think everyone agreed with that.
He's probably inadvertently a bit of a springboard. Like, he's one of the first big, kind of, as the manager puts it, marquee X Factor signings. Like, were you really kicked on with Matty Smith? Like,
yeah, he was just injured too much.
It's just, he was very unlucky with injuries.
Yeah, I agree with that. Actually, this one, nobody mentioned this in all of these responses I got. The amount of people that thought signing Connor Cairns was some kind of, like, as if we'd signed, like, an under-8 goalkeeper or something. Do you remember that? People go mental over it.
I do remember that. That was a bit mad. Like,
it's been loads of mad stuff.
It's where we just went in season with no keeper, or, like, teased a really big sign and then just announced one of our youth players, like another team has done this year.
Yeah, are people going on as if, like, we signed Lewis Webb or Niall Burden or somebody along those lines? Mad stuff. Look at that one.
Right down here,
oh, Jesus Christ, big windy bastard. Where's he now, Ben, huh? Where's he now? Nowhere. That's where he is. Dust. Ben Thornton said, "I heard some fella say that Shane Farrell over Sean Gannon at right back last season." I heard that bandied about by a few people, actually, that, like, Shane Farrell would answer all our questions at right back.
I mean, if Shane Farrell is the answer, I don't know what the question is. Because Farrell is a great fella, but I just didn't exactly see where he fit in.
No. That's actually making me think as well. Don't be bashing ex-players that don't deserve to be bashed.
Who? Me?
No, not you.
Okay.
You were there when this happened on Friday. People were giving Connor Kane a really bad time on Friday. Like, after the game. I don't mind during the game you're going to give him stick. Of course you are, hoping he makes a bollocks or something. But afterwards, Connor Kane, he's like the most inoffensive player to have played for Shells. Like, yeah, he even looked at us and just put his arms out. I was like, I thought I was all right here. Yeah. Very strange.
I felt like I had to apologise to him because I was like, sorry. Like,
yeah.
Not our fault.
Yeah. Leave our sound X players alone, everyone. I'll finish this part, Ben, with Shells fan was on to say that the worst hot take he's ever heard is that Daily Mount would save the club. I think that could be the very worst we've had.
Yeah, that takes it.
Like, when you think of all the mad stuff that's gone on these last couple of years, it's just, you always say, I'm not a great one for looking back, but it is just bizarre when you think about it. Bizarre. Look, they were the hot takes. I did also ask people just for their general feelings after the weekend. I'm making sure to read as many of these out as I can because I got a lot of abuse for not getting to the listener questions last week.
Who abused you?
Loads of people. Fucking, I only got into the ground and a very important person in the club was like, "Why was there no listener questions this week?" It's like, just because. Just didn't get around to it, really. And there also wasn't very many. So that's how I'm going to defend myself. But give me a second here. I'm not great with technology, Ben, as you know. Shells fan said, "Life as a Shells fan has never been better. We'll bounce back in both the men's and the women's." We will come to that women's result now shortly. We've kind of covered most of people's general thoughts. Mark Massey said, "No need for panic, but we have to stop conceding silly goals." Brian Murphy, "There's not going to be any easy games. Every club will drop points again." But I do have to get to the voice of reason, of course. He always just seems to pop in when it's most needed, when people's heads are well and truly falling off. Good old Jordan pops in. He said, not the best of weekends. I had to calm down after Friday night. On the night, I was extremely annoyed with that and frustrated, but had a breather. And when you strip it all back, we haven't been beaten in a league game since October. And on another night, we scored 3 or 4. Lots of heads gone and people really need to relax. Cut out the silly mistakes and we'll be fine. Anyway, back at it on Friday and I smell a hiding on the way for our opponents. Be very careful with that because I predicted we'd win 3-0. Anyone that would listen on Friday, I said we'd win 3-0. So I'm not going down that road, but I think that message pretty much sums it up. Saturday, Ben. Unfortunately, more disappointment. Before we actually do come to the women's defeat on Saturday, I mentioned at the start of the pod, 2022 was the last time that the men and women's teams were both beaten in league games on the same weekend. It was in September of that year. Let's play a little game, Ben.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, are you ready for this?
Okay.
If I can find it, of course. Where are my screenshots? Here we go. We played Sligo in that September, Ben, in the men's game on the Friday. We were beaten 2-0. Again, it's 2022. How many of the starting 11 can you name? We were playing 3 at the back. That's what it will give you. So can you give me 3 centre-backs? Give me as many of them as you can.
Oh, God. Griff.
Correct.
Aaron O'Driscoll.
Yes.
No, probably wouldn't have been. I don't know why, but is Gav Malloy one?
Correct. You fucking Googled this. You had to have.
What? Right, you didn't give me time.
We had two midfielders. Two kind of sitting-ish midfielders. Give me them.
Coyler and JJ, no?
No. JJ is one. Who was the other one?
Aid Irvine, then.
Correct. Oh, wait a minute now. Have I made a bollocks of this? Won't be the first time. No, I don't think I have. Two wingbacks. The hint I will give you is one of them was playing on their wrong side.
J.R. Wilson?
Yes, he was on his right side. So his correct side. Who was playing off his wrong side?
Josh Georgie, was he there?
No, he was on the bench. Shane Farrell.
Shane Farrell,
Yes, and then we had two people playing off a striker. Give me the three. This should be the easiest bit.
Jack Moylan.
Yes.
Matty Smith, Sean Boyd.
Yes, correct. And Ben, can you give me the goalkeeper?
Brendan Clark.
Indeed. Indeed. Who, might I add, miraculously wasn't fit enough to play for Galway on Friday, even though he was fit enough to play against us and pull off a load of worldly saves. Not impressed. Not impressed. On to Saturday.
He did that for badness.
Of course he did. 2-1 defeat, Ben, on Saturday in the Ringsend Derby. It was a disappointing one. I did get down to the game. I think you mentioned to me before you had to settle for bits and pieces of the stream. You were busy on Saturday. What did you make of what you did see?
I think, yeah, there's a lot of positives to take. Obviously, a fast start again, it's what you want. But I just don't think we killed off the game when we had chances to kill off the game. And it kind of did just come back to bite us.
Yeah, it did. It wasn't a great game. I didn't feel like there was a great kind of flow to it. It was very stop-start. It just didn't. It felt like a first game of the season, if that makes sense. A lot of kind of trying to feel each other out and see what each other were going to do. It's again, it's just a pity, like the manner of goal we're giving away. Like, it's obviously a mistake for Oliver's first one. The second one, like, it's so late in the game and we just kind of got caught out. Positives for me would definitely be Rebecca Devereaux. When she came on, looked like she caused an awful lot of problems down that kind of right-hand side. She caused a lot of problems for that Rovers defence. She also caused a lot of problems for the commentator, Ben.
Yeah.
Andy McGarren, of course, in the commentary box.
You have to laugh. It's it's one of those.
When you're getting sent League of Ireland clips from mates of yours who have no interest in the League of Ireland, I count that as something going viral. And yeah, like, it was very, very funny. To be fair, it did look like it was in. It really did look like it was in, but the going from the mega high to the, I think somebody said to me, there's just so many emotions in it, it should be studied. Because it goes from this elation to not too sure to, oh no, what have I done there? I've been there. It's not a nice feeling, but it was fairly funny all the same. Look.
Dude, this is going to annoy me. When the two teams lost, the men and women.
Yes.
Who did the women get beaten by? Was it?
I looked it up earlier. I
want to say it's Piemont.
I think it was. I think it was a 1-0 against Piemont. Yeah, I'm nearly certain it was.
Is that not the one that was on TG Carr and it was a Stephanie Roach second half goal?
Oh, you could be right there. You could be very, very right there.
That's mad, though. 2022, it's a long way.
It's insane. It's insane. It just goes to show, more so on the women's side, I think, how few games they've lost. It's just bizarre. And that's why I think the defeat on Saturday hurt more, because there's not a lot of room for error there. And to lose the first one at home in the manner, like the last, pretty much the last kick of the game, was a real kick in the stomach. Look, I mean, geez, the first game of the season, like, everyone's going to drop points. It's not a travesty, but it's just, it felt a little bit disappointing. Obviously, a chance to get back on the horse.
It could be, like, I don't want to say it could be a good one, because it's never going to be good, but, like, it's one of those where you have your experienced players that can look to your younger players and say, look, this is how you feel now with this. Let's not feel that again. Let's push on. Let's go out and do something.
Yeah, it was very strange, the final whistle. It felt like there was three games to go in the season. Do you know that kind of way? Like, it felt in the stand and on the pitch like a complete calamity. And I think, again, that's just, we're a victim of our own standards there.
Yeah.
Where, like, losing a game is a travesty. To some people it wouldn't be, but I think in that atmosphere it definitely is considered a disaster. It was a disaster. Look, it's one game, beaten in one game. You said there it's probably not a bad game to go into, but, like, Waterford, only newly in the league, obviously only coming into it this year. They lost their first game away to Athlone. Sorry, no, it wasn't away to Athlone. I'm completely wrong there. Don't mind me. It was away to Treaty. It's their first game at home in the league. Like, that's another huge game to go into. I'm sure there'll be a good crowd down there. Difficult. But I think sometimes you're better off going straight into another difficult game, aren't you?
Yeah. Like, be great to upset them as well. For no reason.
The more people you can upset, the better. That's the way I look at it. Piss everyone off. That's what we're all about.
The most important person on Saturday, in your opinion, was probably the little one. How did she enjoy the game?
She had a great time. She was given a poster. Well, originally, we missed the goal. Now, in fairness, I'd say a few people missed the goal. It was scored that quickly. Poor Zara hadn't a clue that we were actually winning until at halftime. I was explaining to her how the scoreboard works, and it was like, oh, did Shell score? I was, yeah, they did score. No, she had a great time. She got her free poster when she went in, which she loved. She done the usual Shell's kid thing. It caught her attention for a while, and then she wanted to walk around and kind of just, she made a little buddy. So that's what it's all about. It's just getting her in the gate. She's been hounding me for the longest time to get out to a game. Unfortunately, she used to have other commitments on a Saturday that meant we didn't get to home games, but hopefully we will get to loads of them this year. Decent crowd actually down there as well on Saturday. An awful lot of Rovers supporters, which I found interesting. A lot of Rovers people there. But yeah, I've mentioned there next week, or Saturday, this coming Saturday, the team do travel to Waterford in what will be a difficult game, I've no doubt. It's a 3 o'clock kickoff, so obviously we've moved to the 4 o'clock. That's 3 o'clock kickoff. It is in the RSC. You'll find tickets online. If you can't make it to Waterford, you can, as always, watch on LOI TV. Ben, we're nearly there. We do need to give our Richie rankings, though. I have my two. You'd swear we don't do this every single week, because I asked you before, had you got yours?
You actually kind of spoiled one of mine. I was kind of raging.
I'll go on.
See, I wanted to give my Richie Baker to Andy McGarren, because the reaction just, I got so much enjoyment out of it. Because it's one of those that, like, as you said, needs to be studied. He has every emotion under the sun going for him. I think it's just funny. As you said, anything that can put a spotlight on the league, you know, people's energy. I think the league account put it up as well. I think it's just, look, you've been in the gantry due to you've been on comms. It's a hard enough job to do as it is, especially seeing stuff. When you see the ball hit the side of the net, it's a difficult one, but I think he took it on the chin, and his reaction makes it even better. So I have to give it to him.
I've dropped a fair few clangers now. I famously blame Sean Boyd for giving away a penalty on national television that he didn't give away. So yeah, we've all been there. My Richie Baker, it comes from the game on Saturday in Tolka. There was a man up in the stand, and a few rows in front of him was a family of Rovers supporters. It was young kids and parents or aunties, uncles, whatever they were. And every time the kids would get a little Rovers, Rovers, he would scream at the top of his lungs, Shelburne, Shelburne. And every single time they opened their mouth, this, I won't say elderly gentleman, that's probably a bit offensive, but he's seen a fair few Shells games this time, I'd say. He just was there to wind everyone up. There was a Rover supporter there who kept taking particular offence against Noelle Murray for some reason. Every time, you know, Noelle, she's Damien Duff calls it, Ben, the dark arts.
Yeah.
Noelle would be fond of the dark arts, I'd say. Can be a bit of a wind up on the pitch, which is no harm. But every time Noelle did anything, there was some Rovers fan kept saying, keep an eye on her, referee. Like, he just kept screaming. And this Shells fan would scream back, well done, Noelle. You're doing great. Go on, keep it up, Noelle. So, yeah, whoever that man is, I should have found out his name. He's my Richie Baker for this week. And my Richie Winter, Ben, it's I don't know who to blame, who to specifically give this to. I'm going to just give it to Cork City in general. For losing their ever-loving minds about footballs and people stealing footballs from the games.
Oh, you're joking. Would you not just pick a deer? Oh.
Look, I get it. Lose the footballs. I'm sure it's frustrating, and you have to order more and wait for them to come and all. I do get that. But as a wise man said in our group chat earlier, Ben, if you've paid €7,000 to replace footballs, how much would it cost to just put a net up?
I mean, that would make a lot of sense.
It's probably not going to cost a grand. Or €7,000, I should say. I would like to think it wouldn't. But yeah, that is, I'm just going to give my Richie Winter to Cork, I think, in general, this week.
That was mine, but I had a feeling that would be one of yours. So I had a backup, and this is a very strange one, so you'll have to bear with me. Did you see, by any chance, the Cove Ramblers highlights?
Just the general, like, the general football that was involved in it.
Just the quality of the goals, I would say. There's one goal in particular where the keeper comes rushing out and gets he's nowhere near the ball, the poor fella, and just the laziest defending from the centre half as it goes across and eventually ends up in the net. So I think it's Eric Yarrow is the defender and Harry something or other, I can't remember his name now, was the keeper. But yeah, that's it. That's it for me. Just because I don't know, I just didn't like it, just didn't enjoy it. And then the reason I didn't like it is because I saw the highlights and then I went in to try and find the players' names to see who they were. And I saw that Longford have someone playing for them. A certain Dean George.
Ugh, disgusting.
Does that name ring a bell for you?
Yeah, unfortunately it does.
And even though Dean George plays for Longford and doesn't play for Cove, his name annoyed me, so it made me more annoyed at Longford and those players, because Dean George, of course, for anyone that doesn't know, scored his first league goals of the season in 2020 when he scored a hat-trick against us in the FAI Cup.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, Ben.
Yeah, look.
I mean, that was completely appropriate to bring that up.
It was, yeah, but it's just for people that didn't know. And it will, if you've ever spoken to Darren about it, he has a particular hatred for that game, because I once heard an incredible rant where he just screams, "Dean George, I'll never forget that name."
Owen Smith and Darren Cleary, I genuinely think, have some kind of serious distress about that game. Like, anytime you mention it, they both just go, "Oh no, why are we talking about this? Why are we doing it?" They're obviously, it was COVID, nobody at games. They were the only two there, as far as I know, because I know Gav would have been at most of the games that year, but I don't think he was able to make that one. But when you look back on it, we have a lot of time for Ian Morris here, and his interview is just, I mean, talking about things that should be studied. You can just see the disbelief. He just keeps saying, They're bottom of the first division. It's just, oh. And then they got spanked. They lost 10-0 or something in the semi-final then, something stupid like that. So, yeah, geez, great way to lower the tone, Ben, anyway, by mentioning that. I did think your Richie Winter was going to go elsewhere.
Where did you think I was going?
After a run-in you had on Friday about one of the more hated things in your life is when you get mistaken for your brother.
Go on, do it.
Somebody did mistake you for your brother. So you know what? I'm going to do it.
I was going to do it, but I didn't want to do that to him, but you can do it now.
Yeah, I'm going to do it. My own father mistook Ben for Darren, and that is unforgivable, in my opinion.
I mean, so usually I would wish some very horrible things that that usually makes that horrible mistake. But not your dad. He's a lovely fella. He made a mistake. And the fact that he turned around and was like, "I knew who I was talking to. I knew it wasn't Darren, but still."
On behalf of the entire Doody family, I'd like to apologise to you, Ben.
Well, your apology is accepted. It's, as far as being mistaken, I feel like that one's not as bad. I think if I get a wish.com Darren Cleary, that's a whole other story.
Yeah, but look, that wasn't,
we'll great. Leave that for another day.
Yes, we will. Tickets for our next four home games in Talca are on sale. Get on, get them early. Talca is selling out regularly now, which is just bizarre. It's a mental thing to think. But get tickets now. Don't be that person the day before a game. Any tickets going, looking for a spare, get them now.
The day it's announced it's sold out and they put the post in the group saying, "Any tickets?"
Yeah. So everyone just shut up and get your tickets.
Get your tickets.
Yeah, stop moaning. There is, obviously we're playing Cork this Friday at home. That's in Talca, 7:45, all the usual good stuff. Our women's team are away to Waterford. That's in the RC on Saturday. That's a 3 o'clock kickoff. And unfortunately, we're on to an international break. Oh. After that, which I know.
Yeah.
When are we going to stop this nonsense?
It's grand because I think John O'Shea turned around today and said he's going to start looking at the league, so it's fine.
Oh, I just... I hate all that. God, it annoys me. Where I was going with that was, I'm just trying to pull the phone number up here so that I don't make a mess of it. I have it. The week after the international break, and I am well aware I am making a complete and utter hames of this, and I should have written this down beforehand, but obviously I didn't. But Friday, the 28th of March, and it is the Friday Sligo usually play on a Saturday. This game isn't. It's on the Friday, 28th of March. It's in the showgrounds. There will be an official club bus. If you are interested, contact John Brennan. 087-661-0927. There you go, John. I forgot to do that for you last week, but it's out there now. Ben, anything else to add?
Up the Reds.
Thanks for listening to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne FC, Dublin's finest since 1895. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on Apple or Spotify, and subscribe now to never miss a new episode.